And please open God's word with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 3. Our text this evening is Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20, but we're going to begin reading at verse 31 of chapter 3. As we come to God's word, let's bow our heads in a moment of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word before us now. We thank you that your word is freely given. We thank you that your word is something that we can hold in our hands. Lord, that is indeed a privilege and a blessing. We thank you that we can hold your word in our hands and not have to worry about being persecuted. Lord, may your word be precious to us. May it be more precious to us than gold, sweeter to us than honey from the comb. Lord, indeed, this evening, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mark chapter 3, starting at verse 31. Let us pay careful attention to God's word. And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." And he answered them, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." And then our text this afternoon. Again he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word, and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. So far, the reading of God's word, may he bless it to our lives, and I encourage you to keep God's word open as we look at this passage together. Brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know about your garden at home, but our garden has been a bit of a mixed bag this year. It seems that everything has grown so much later. It took a long time for things to grow. We did really well in our beetroot and some of the beans, but the basil and the tomatoes were okay. It hasn't been the greatest of seasons. But this being our first year in Christchurch, it was also our first year in the garden. So there was a fair bit of work that needed to be done in this garden before we could plant everything. There were a fair few stones that had to be removed. There was soil that needed to be fertilized. And then the plants needed to go in as well. The most important thing, and that was the most important thing, working the soil, getting the soil right. Because if the soil isn't right, no matter what you plant, no matter what you do, you're not going to get a good crop. And it's the soil that's at the heart of our passage this afternoon. If you look there in your Bibles, and if you've got the same headings as me, it'll say the parable of the sower. And then the purpose of parables further down. And these phrases here aren't inspired, they've been inserted by the people who put the Bible together. And I'm going to suggest tonight that this parable should really be called the parable of the six types of soil. Because as we see and as we look through this passage, we're going to see that there are actually six types of soil being spoken about here. This evening, brothers and sisters, I'm going to bring you God's word with the following theme. You can only grow through Jesus Christ. You can only grow through Jesus Christ. And we're going to see that in 3 points this evening. We're going to see, first of all, that Christ is the sower. Christ is the sower. Secondly, we're going to see that Christ is the one to be known. Christ is the one to be known. And thirdly, Christ's disciples bear fruit. Christ's disciples bear fruit. So firstly, then, we're going to see that Christ is the sower. Christ is the sower. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read a parable such as this, I straight away want to go to the types of soil. What are the types of soil? What do they mean? Where do I fit in into that picture? Or where does someone else fit into those picture, into that picture? But what we need to do as we approach this parable is, first of all, take a step back. Have a look at the story. Take the story in. See what are the details we need to take note of. In Rangiora, we've been working our way through the book of Mark, and we've been seeing over the past couple of months the conflicts that have been happening between Jesus and the leaders of the day. We've seen the conflict between Jesus and Satan. But we've also seen people come to Jesus Christ. We've seen Jesus call the disciples and they've come. We've seen more than just the disciples come to Jesus to answer the call that Jesus gave in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So there's been different responses to the gospel. In some places, the gospel has been accepted by some people. In other places, it's been totally rejected. So we come to this picture here of the parable of the sower. We meet the crowd in chapter 4, verse 1. And the crowd in Mark is a group that's not really well defined. Often the crowd in Mark can be a bit of a hurdle. And here, in many ways, they are a hurdle to Jesus. There's such a large crowd that Jesus can't preach from the shore anymore. And the boat that had been prepared in Mark chapter 3 is made ready for Jesus. And Jesus goes onto the boat, goes a little bit offshore, and preaches to the crowd. We read in verse 2 that he was teaching them many things in parables. So it wasn't just this parable. This wasn't the entire content of the sermon. Now he was preaching many parables, many stories. But it's this one that's important. It's this one that Mark wants us to take attention of. And so we come to the parable. Jesus says, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow." Now, boys and girls, when you see a farmer sowing a paddock nowadays, normally you see a tractor. It's my favourite, a John Deere, a green tractor out there on the paddock. The farmer's sitting inside and he's got air conditioning. Where it's too hot or too cold, he can just turn that air conditioning on and he can drive in comfort. Behind him he has this big machine, a seed drill, that plants the seed perfectly in the soil. He has a GPS. He knows exactly where the tractor is. He knows exactly where the seed needs to go, and no seed is wasted. Everything goes in just the right places. But that's not the picture of a farmer in the New Testament. That's not the picture that we have before you. I want you to forget that picture and think of just one man holding a bag of seed. And he's got this bag of seed in his arm, and he goes out into the field, and it's not a nice ploughed field like we'd see today. No, it's a field that has lots of little paths in it. In certain areas, there's lots of stones. And so the farmer goes, and he just makes his way through the field, and he just casts the seed out. He's not particularly fussy. He just puts it everywhere he can. You see, in those days, they ploughed the soil after the seed had been sowed. So he didn't actually know what was there in the ground. He didn't know if there were rocks there or not. So he just cast the seed out. The farmer didn't discriminate where the seed went. We're told in verse 14 of Mark chapter 4 that the sower sows the word. As Jesus explains the parable, he explains that he is the first farmer, He is the one who's sowing the seed, sowing God's word. He is the one that's proclaiming the message of the gospel, the message of Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Repent and believe, the kingdom of God is at hand. And here, as Jesus the farmer is casting out his word, the kingdom of God has entered, has broken into the world. And so the first thing we see as we look here at the big picture is that we see here that Jesus doesn't discriminate in passing out the word, in sharing the word. He didn't say, well, come at 4 o'clock in this certain place, and if you meet the right requirements, I'll preach to you. No, he preached whenever opportunity he had. He preached everywhere he could, and he preached to everyone who would listen. An example for us as we sow the seed of the gospel today. Brothers and sisters, we shouldn't discriminate who we give the gospel to. We, just like the sower sowing the seed, should sow the seed as wide and as far as we can. We don't get to make the choice. We shouldn't make the choice who receives the gospel. That's not our call to make. We see here too a picture of the kingdom of God, a picture of the seed bearing fruit. You see, we tend to focus on those three soil types that reject the word, but there's also three soil types there in verse 8. Those, the soil that receives the seed, that listens, that hears, that produces fruit, it yields fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Different responses, but yet a response to the gospel. And that's the kingdom of heaven too, brothers and sisters, as it enters the world, as it gets results, as it spreads out through the world. That's the picture that Daniel gives of the stone that grows throughout the entire world, the kingdom of heaven. So Christ, first of all, is the sower. Christ sows the seed. But secondly, we see that Christ is the one to be known. Christ is the one to be known. We see there in verse 10, when Jesus was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. They asked him, "What are you meaning here, Jesus? What is it that you're saying here? And note that it's not just the 12 here, it's those around him. Most likely it's the same group that Jesus is referring to in verses 31 through 35 when he points to those who are listening to him. The ones who do the will of God, who are Jesus' brother and sister and mother. And they come to Jesus and say, "What do you mean with these parables?" And also part of the question that they're asking, bearing in mind, and a question that Mark wants us to consider as we consider where he is in Mark, where we are in the gospel, is why do people respond differently to your preaching? Why is it that there's a different response? And Jesus answers them. He says, first of all to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God." To you has been given the secret. What does he mean here by the word secret? Well, the word secret here means something that has been revealed. Something that will be revealed. You may come up to someone, and I'm sure there are plenty of green thumbs here in the congregation, and say, "What's the secret to your tomatoes? How do you get such nice tomatoes? Or how are your beans looking so good? What's the secret? Help me to understand." And they explain to you, "Well, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do to the soil. This is how you need to treat the tomatoes as they're growing." You see, the secret is something that is revealed. The secret of the kingdom of God. And that secret was revealed to those who trusted in Jesus Christ, who answered his call to repent and believe, to those who were his family, to those who did, as Jesus said in Mark 3, verse 35, to those who did the will of God. To you, it will be explained. To you, the word of the gospel will be made clear. Brothers and sisters, that secret, that person is Jesus Christ. Christ is the one to be known. Christ is the secret of the kingdom of God. Christ is the one who was revealed as he came to earth. So we too, those of us who are in Jesus Christ, have been given the secret of the kingdom of God. We too, who trust in Jesus Christ for our salvation, are able to understand the things that are written here. We too, who have been given the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit working in our hearts, drawing us together to Jesus Christ. Christ is the one to be known. He is the message. He is the King of the kingdom. But there's also another group that Jesus refers to. The second half of verse 11. "But for those outside, everything is in parables." And then we come to Isaiah chapter 9. And Jesus quotes here from that passage in Isaiah. And the truth that Jesus teaches here is a difficult truth. It's not difficult to understand, but it's difficult to swallow. Isaiah chapter 6 finds Isaiah being commissioned by the Lord. The voice of the Lord says, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And Isaiah speaks up and says, "Here I am, send me." But did you notice the job description that God gave Isaiah? He told Isaiah, "Go and say to this people, keep on hearing but do not understand, keep on seeing but do not perceive." Go and talk to these people, knowing that they're not going to listen to you. That they're going to reject the message that you're giving them. Make the heart of this people dull, their eyes heavy, blind their eyes, lest they turn and understand. As we read in verse 12, that they may indeed see but not perceive, hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Some people reject the gospel. Many people reject the gospel. Is God here guilty of hardening their hearts? Is God hardening their hearts? Yes, there's that an aspect there. Is God guilty of it? No. No, remember the parable of the soil. The product, the soil, is what dictates whether the word will be received or not. Some soil rejects God. And God only hardens the hearts of those who are hard against him. Brothers and sisters, that's every single one of us. If our hearts have not been softened. That's every single one of us if the Holy Spirit does not work in our hearts. Some will not be saved. God will not save all. That's a terrible truth, but it is a truth that Scripture teaches. It's only through the knowledge of Christ, through the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and his word, that you can grow, that you can become right with God. Christ is the sower. Christ is the one to be known. But finally, Christ's disciples bear fruit. And here Jesus goes and explains the parables as we make our way through the remaining verses. Verses 14 and following to the end. And we see here the different types of soil. We see first of all the soil, the seed sown along the path where the word is sown. Now we all, I'm sure, can identify people who fit into this category. People who hear the gospel and reject it. Now they may not reject it with anger. They may just simply not be interested. They may just not want to know. But they do reject it. They do reject it. God's word doesn't take any root at all. And if you're here this evening listening, that's probably not going to be you. Unless you don't want to hear God's word. Unless you're resistant to God's word. Unless you're turning away and running away from God's word. Then you're in danger here. So we have the seed sown on the hard ground. But secondly, we see the seed sown on the rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, we read in verse 16. But they have no root in themselves. Again, I'm sure we can all identify, or many of us can identify, with people who fit this bill. People who seem to be Christians, who take the word in with great gusto, who are excited about it. But then the going gets tough. There's pressure on them to stand up for the gospel. And they fall away. They turn away. But again, brothers and sisters, we sometimes can fall into this trap as well. We can fall into that trap where we just go through the motions in our Christian walk. Where we just go through the motions in our daily life and we don't pay attention to God's word. We don't put deep roots down in God's word. Then when the going gets tough, we are weak and vulnerable. We move on to the seeds thrown among the thorns. And here the challenge comes not from without, but from within. They are the ones who hear of the word, but the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word. People who make a great start, but then get taken over by the desires of the world, by the enticement of riches. But again, brothers and sisters, the challenge is for us. We too can get carried away with the cares of the world. We too can get carried away with the deceitfulness of riches. When we strive for the almighty dollar, when we sacrifice our family by working those long hours, all to make some more money, when we just hang on and we tell our spouse, just hang on for a little bit longer. I'll get that promotion. These extra hours will only be for a certain amount of time. When the desires for other things carry us away, the desires that live in our hearts, the desires to be like the world, to be involved in the world, the temptation to be involved in a relationship with non-Christians, the temptation to be carried away by our desires by what we see and search on the internet. We too can get choked by weeds. And the purpose of a parable like this is for us to examine ourselves, to examine our own lives, to ask ourselves, what are the weeds that we need to remove? But then our parable also finishes with encouragement. And we see here in verse 20 the encouragement. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Now the first thing we see here we can be encouraged with is that there are different responses. We all grow differently. Those of us who are in Jesus Christ, who hear the word, have different rates of growth. Not all of us will be a seed 100-fold. Some of us will be a seed 30-fold, and that's okay. That's the reality of the Christian walk. But what is important, brothers and sisters, what is essential is that we do bear fruit. Because Christ's disciples bear fruit. And so we need to ask ourselves this evening, are we bearing fruit? Is the seed of the gospel growing in our life? Are we growing more like the one who sows the seed in our heart? Are we growing more like Jesus Christ? Because if you're not growing, God's word here challenges you to look at yourself, to examine yourself. Why are you not growing? The growth may be slow. The growth may go in stops and starts, but there will be growth. Are you growing? Are you growing? What weeds need to be removed? What stones need to be removed from the soil? Brothers and sisters, Christians grow. Christians grow through God's word, through the gospel working in their lives. And this evening we can be encouraged that God's word does bear fruit. That the knowledge of the secret of the kingdom of God, of Jesus Christ, has been given to us. That's a message that we are to spread far and wide. Jesus Christ and the message of salvation. That's a message that we can take comfort in, knowing that if we are in Jesus Christ, we will never be lost. That, brothers and sisters, is a farmer who we should want to know more and more about. And as we do so, as we learn more about him, as we encourage each other, as we challenge each other and teach and show each other Jesus Christ, we will bear fruit. You can only grow through Jesus Christ. Amen. Please pray with me. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promise in your word that your word never returns to you empty-handed without achieving the purpose for which you've sent it. May that encourage us as we proclaim your word, as we proclaim the message of the gospel far and wide. Use us, Lord, to be farmers on your behalf, to proclaim the wonderful good news that we have, the news of salvation in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to realize that it is not us that does the work, but you through us, that you are the sower, that you have given us the secret of the kingdom of God. But use us in your kingdom. May your kingdom grow through us. May we grow through your word. Help us, Lord, to search those areas of our life that we know we need to work on or that we may not be aware of. Help us as brothers and sisters to encourage each other, to challenge each other in those areas that need to be challenged. Help us to point each other to the one who needs to be known, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that through you, through your gospel, we may bear fruit. And we look forward to that day, Heavenly Father, when the harvest will come in, where all of God's people will assemble before him, where our Saviour will return and take us home. Lord, we long forward to that day. But help us now. Help us, Lord, to be workers of the harvest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.